Proverbs chapter 3 tonight. If you have your Bibles, good to be in the Lord's house. Proverbs chapter number 3. Looking at wisdom tonight and looking at long life. Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 16 through 18. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house once again on this Lord's Day. I ask you, Lord, to meet with us tonight. I ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say as we look at wisdom, look at long life, just look at different things tonight that I believe would be a help to us from your word. And I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. We see in verse 16, that length of days, essentially long life, that wisdom holds length of days in her right hand. Which means if you want long days, you want a long life, you have to go through wisdom to get it. And God is the giver of wisdom, but also the giver and taker of life. So God chose to attach wisdom to long life. So whether your life is a long life or a short life, ultimately it falls under God's realm as he is the giver and taker of life. However, you and I play a part since God attached wisdom to length of days, kind of like honoring thy father and mother. Bible talks about length of days. So you and I play a part in God's plan of whether we have a short or long life. Solomon specifically states, to they that lay hold upon her, talking about wisdom. So to those who grab a hold of wisdom, those who accept wisdom, those who embrace wisdom, will come to find that length of days is in wisdom's right hand. But also in wisdom's left hand are riches and honor. This is not the prosperity gospel. You're not promised gold or silver and precious stones while on this earth, submitting to wisdom, but you will enjoy life more fully here on this earth. You also receive some crowns in eternity for submitting to wisdom. And apart from Christ, King Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth. He was rich on this earth, but even he was not so wealthy that he walked on streets of gold. And remember, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is chief. And if you're asking for wisdom so you can get some materials while on this earth, you've missed the whole point. You won't get any wisdom until you apply the wisdom that you've already been exposed to. You see, many people are unwise and don't particularly avoid things too well. It's been said that knowledge learns the hard way, or wisdom avoids and knowledge learns the hard way. Sometimes we have firsthand experience of what not to do because we did it. As where if there were wisdom, we could have avoided some of those things and avoided some of that heartache. So many people are unwise and don't particularly avoid things too well, and it's not because God isn't trying to give them more wisdom, but because they won't receive what they've already been given. With wisdom is long life. I do believe some people cut their life short from a lack of wisdom or a lack of heeding wisdom. We see in verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. So we see her ways are pleasantness. Pleasantness means pleasing, agreeable, grateful to the mind or to the senses. The next verse has come up a lot. I think of the way of the transgressor is hard. Wisdom heeded turns transgressors into portraits of submission and humility. By heeding wisdom, you can live a pleasant life. There was a time my life was very unpleasant, and it was unpleasant because I did not heed wisdom. And the very reason not all of our days will be pleasant is that at times we don't always heed wisdom. Overall, the life of a man or woman that heeds wisdom will be a pleasant life. If not for anything else, just by removing what we bring at times on our own selves through a lack of heeding wisdom. It says all her paths are peace. Peace means freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions, as from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. Quietness of mind, tranquility, calmness, quiet of conscience. If wisdom avoids, I do believe that with wisdom we can avoid a lot of confrontation if we just heeded wisdom. Can I tell you the times that something was on my mind to say, but it wasn't on the Lord's mind to say? Something was on my heart to be said, but it wasn't on the Lord's heart to be said. And you know, we got to be careful, because even though the Lord uses, even though the Lord dwells, so to speak, His Spirit within man, we have to be careful, because the Lord speaks through the heart, yes, but we also got a lot going on there too. Sometimes we can confuse whether or not it's us or it is the Lord that is speaking from our heart. Some of the greatest generals, I've referenced these, I believe, before, here, but some of the greatest generals in our past were willing to go to war, but did not like war itself. Most people who have been to war don't like it. There are some who get a taste for it, so to speak, and they'll dedicate their lives to it, but there's not too many of those. But some of the greatest generals in our past were willing to go to war, but did not like war itself. General Lee said, "It is well that war is so terrible. Otherwise, we should grow too fond of it." He went on to say, "What a cruel thing war is to fill our hearts with hatred instead of love for our neighbors." General Grant said, "I've never advocated war except as a means of peace. So seek peace, but prepare for war, because war never changes. War's like winter, and winter's coming." The next one comes right along what we're talking about, also by General Grant. "There was never a time when, in my opinion, some way could not be found to prevent the drawing of the sword." Men of wisdom, and what they're saying is wisdom can avoid, at times, a lot of conflict. You can tell a lot about the amount of wisdom that a man or woman has by their readiness to go to battle, or their lack thereof. Their excitement to go to battle, their seeking a battle. Anything at any time is worth going to battle over. This is not a person of peace. This is not a person that is walking in wisdom, seeking to avoid conflict by any means except compromise. Personally, I'm a man that prefers peace, but I will fight. But since the Holy Spirit has put within me the desire to prefer peace, fighting's not my go-to. I want a peaceable approach in most situations. Now, there are times that peace won't work. Somebody kicks in your door tonight at 2 a.m. First resort's not going to be a peaceable one. They're going to learn real fast, in about a second, that it was a wrong decision. But fighting shouldn't be necessarily our go-to. We should try to find peaceable approaches. With wisdom, we can avoid some conflicts. All her paths are peace. Peace, again, means freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions, as from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. And it talks about a quietness of mind. So we have to pray for wisdom. I invite you to pray for my wisdom. I invite you to pray for the wisdom of this church. I believe for the most part we do, but we can have a peaceful church if we have wisdom. If we have wisdom, we won't say nasty things about one another. We won't stir the coals and pour gasoline on gossip and spread it around. We won't seek to cause contentions and divisions within the church. You know, as a church, we should be pleasant. We should be peaceful. And we do that by having wisdom. I'm often challenged, and it's convicting when we think about the apostles in 1 Corinthians 4 and how they were defamed. Defamed means slandered, dishonored, or injured by evil reports. So the apostles experienced evil reports. They were lied on. They were slandered. But how did they respond? They entreated. Entreat means to make an earnest petition or request, to offer a treaty. It's interesting that a treaty would be offered before a battle necessarily even began, because if you're going to call something a battle, isn't it two sides opposing one another? You're going to call it a battle? Apostles didn't even enter into that. They did not slander them back. It says they tried to make peace. Hopefully we can display wisdom in our conflict management. You cannot deny that things will arise at times that need to be handled. But how you handle them will help the overall situation. Also, Paul said being reviled. What the apostles do then? Reviled means reproach, treated with contemptuous language. But after being reviled, what do they do? It said they bless. Again, this is 1 Corinthians 4. They bless. That means to pronounce a wish of happiness to one, to express a wish or desire of happiness. Now, to be honest with you, this is not our go-to. When somebody's nasty to us, when somebody doesn't treat us right, this is not our go-to. They were reviled by speech, contemptuous speech. And they responded with speech of blessings. They responded with a wish of happiness for them. The apostles expressed their desire for those who brought this upon them, that they be blessed and happy. How many times has someone been flat out rude to us and we said, God bless you, and kept our peace? Like I've said before, most people know they're rude. Smile, give them a God bless you, hand them a tract if they'll take it. This is what we ought to do, as difficult as it is. Again, whenever we start up soul winning, you're going to have times when you go out where there's going to be folks that just aren't friendly. It's not going to be friendly, but we have to be friendly back. Be friendly to them. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Have a good day. No matter what they say to you. No matter what they say. Moving on to verse 18, back in Proverbs 3, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. So a tree of life, a tree that has life, will bear fruit. Wisdom in your life will bear fruit. Fruit will be visible. It'll be a sweet smell. It'll be a sweet taste, a sweet sound to the ear. Wisdom is life, and this life spreads. It's fruit that will spread. It'll be beneficial to not only the tree because it is fulfilling its purpose, but it also reaches, it extends to many. I was reading about an apple tree. One apple tree could produce upwards to about 20 bushels of apples. Could supply the needs of about 20 families, if you think about it. So just one person, one wise person that is a tree of life, can affect many around them. Imagine a church with just one wise tree. Imagine a workplace with just one wise tree. Imagine a home with just one wise tree. All can eat from the fruit of this one wise tree by that one person deciding that they're going to lay a hold of wisdom. You could be a tree of life, not death, not negativity, not sadness, not doom and gloom, but life. Isn't there enough death out in society? Isn't there enough people talking about things of death and talking about negativity? You talk about how souls can still be saved, and people are like, no, the Lord's done with that. You talk about how there's still hope for America, and people are like, no, God's done with all that. Just negativity, doom and gloom. But we see where wisdom desires to bring life, and it will bring life. The definition of life in Scripture is nourishment, which is what? The support of life. You want to know how someone's wise? You can tell a lot about their speech. What does it produce? Has it produced life in them? Has it produced life in others? We have life in Christ, meaning nourishment. The nourishment to live the Christian life is only found in Christ. We get our nourishment from the Word. Many of you have seen what happens when the body is cut off from its nourishment. Life begins to fade away. When we cut ourselves off from wisdom, you will see your spiritual life begin to decay. It doesn't matter who you are. Preachers, pastors, missionaries, it doesn't matter. Deacons, trustees, Sunday school teachers, it doesn't matter. You cut yourself off from wisdom, you'll become spiritually malnourished. You will open yourself up to the devil, and it won't be long. Everybody's going to know it. And it's happened from one side of this country to the other, from one side of this world to the other. There's no escaping it. When one begins to be in want of spiritual nourishment, they are dying. They are decaying. And they won't be a breath of life. They won't be a breath of fresh air to a lost and dying world. Hopefully you're reminded tonight that everything comes back to wisdom, which can be traced back to God because God is life. Why did Jesus come? Scripture says in John 10, verse 10 through 11, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So Jesus brings life to the sheep, not death. Sometimes I wonder when Christians will get sick and tired of selling themselves short of the purpose that God has for them by cutting themselves off from the nourishment of the Word, the nourishment of prayer, the nourishment of church, the nourishment of godly friends, the nourishment of wisdom. When you have wisdom, you know what not to do and what to do. In Proverbs 3 and verse 18, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Happy is defined as blessed, enjoying the presence and favor of God. Now, by the way, this is true happiness that can't be found in any other person, any other thing, any event apart from Jesus. This happiness can only come from one, being blessed, and two, enjoying the presence of God, and three, being in favor with God. You know, when you're young, and I am young, but when I was younger, you don't necessarily value wisdom as much. There are people that surround you that are trying to impart wisdom into your life. They want to see wisdom work in your heart and in your life. But at times we reject it. At times we minimize it. And you know what? We can reject wisdom at any age. We can tune it out at any age. We can block it out at any age. And wisdom won't have the work in our heart that the Lord would desire for wisdom to have in our heart and life. Because of that, we won't be as blessed as the Lord would have us to be. We won't enjoy the presence of God in the way that He would desire for us to experience. We won't have that favor with God that He would desire for us to have. I dare say God's desires for us is greater than our desires because we don't even fully understand what God is fully capable of. We don't even understand how good God wants to be to us. We don't even understand how close God wants to be with us. We don't even understand it because we've never been that close. We've never experienced goodness to the degree that God would desire to pour it out on us. Why? Because of us. Because of who we are, who we can be at times. We don't even fully grasp it. But because of wisdom, we can begin to experience it in greater degrees. But that's if we allow it. There's not a doubt in my mind when we think about verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. When we think about that verse, there's not a doubt in my mind, had I not come back to the Lord when I did, I'd be gone and I'd have lived a short life. I'd have died at whatever age I was, and I'm 38 now, but I'd have died at some point a whole lot sooner than where I'm at now from rejecting wisdom. And the Lord had many opportunities in the Marines. Just training in the Marines is strenuous. Some of you have been in the military. Just the training can kill you. They push you to your limits outside. And what it don't matter what it is out there, you out there. There is no calling in sick. Whatever it is, that's what it is. And that's what you're dealing with. You can be close to death. And they may or may not even know. Or care. Because they think somehow or another you're going to cheat death. Half of us thought we knew the possibility of the fact that we could die. But honestly, most of us thought we were too bad to die. Like, we're tougher than death. It's not going to find me. Not a doubt in my mind. Had I not resurrendered my life to the Lord, there's no telling where I'd be. And there are people today who, tragically, they just don't fear God. They don't fear God. There's a whole movement out there trying to tell people not to be afraid of God. As if the only fear that we should have is some sort of reverence, and that's it. It's like, no, we better be afraid of God's judgment. There's a lot of people doing stuff today because they're not afraid of God. They're not afraid of judgment. There's a homosexual being interviewed the other day and claims to be a Christian and talks about how he's not afraid of God. It's like, that's obvious. That's obvious. If you were afraid of God, you wouldn't be in that lifestyle. You wouldn't be in that lifestyle if you're afraid of God. I'm not surprised at all that a homosexual is not afraid of God. A lot of people today, not afraid. Not afraid of God's judgment. Not afraid of rejecting wisdom. Not afraid of pushing it aside and living life however they want. They're not afraid. As if the Bible is not filled already with people who stick to their finger to God, stuck up their nose to God, and didn't live to talk about it. We better be afraid of God, and we better be afraid of His judgment. I believe this verse because I've lived it. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. If you want the blessings of happiness, and it is a blessing, just think back to when you were not happy. And you'll be reminded that happiness is a blessing, and it is directly from God. It's a result of being in the presence of God, having God's favor on your life. And you can have a long, happy life if you retain wisdom. We'll have ups and downs. We will, but we'll have the Lord through it. We'll have wisdom through it. I've seen people handle the most tragic events in their life with the grace of God. If it fazed them, you'd almost not even really tell, because they were surrounded and clothed in God's grace. Resting also on God's sovereignty in Romans 8:28, knowing that all things work together for the good. Just being reminded of it. The word retain means to hold or keep in possession, not to lose or part with or dismiss. It's hard to keep. It's hard to maintain possession of, essentially, what the world and the devil is trying to take from you. We can throw in the flesh also. Our flesh is wicked. They all want the direct opposite of what wisdom wants, which is given to us by God and helps us know how to use the knowledge that we have. And I trust everyone in here wants to be both happy and stay happy. I want us to have a happy church. When these doors open, I want happy people coming in. I want to be happy when I come in. We want people coming in here that are blessed from being in the presence of God and they have God's favor on them. We need that. And on a side note, as we close, happy people are not contentious people. They're not looking to fight. They're more willing to make peace. Fighting is the opposite of happiness. Happy people don't typically like to fight. They can be brought out of a state of happiness, but usually they've also learned that it's better to be happy than irritable. When I was away from the Lord, I was irritable. I was miserable. I had back off written right here. Right here. My eyebrows stayed down. Now they're more neutral. I can't say I'm always like, you know, smiling all the time and stuff like that. My face is a little more neutral now. It's not I want to kill you, but it's not always I want to hug you either. So it's kind of in the middle. But, you know, irritable people, they complicate the matters all the way around. And at times I was one. And I think that's why at times the Lord has given me, not that I've arrived, but the Lord has given me people in my life and in the ministry that are in degrees and stages of where I was. But who can help them out of it? And who can love them through it? Other than somebody who's been there and who's done it. So you know what? I say, Lord, and oftentimes it reminds me, and I say, Lord, thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for having leaders in my life that were patient with me, that did not kill me when they could have. Say, thank you, Lord, for that. And help me embrace the people that you have given me that might be like me, like the way I was, and help me be as patient with them and as loving with them, and help them through. But again, Proverbs 3, verses 16 through 18. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her.